I'm just now getting into the importance of having a good jacket game.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, so important.
I love my jacket.
I've got like five, and I'm normally just like, I just put on a jacket. No.
I have a go-to.
I have a go-to as well. My flight jacket is my go-to. I love it.
I have a J. Crew quilted jacket.
Here you go. I'll be at J. Crew next year. I'll be at your level shopping at J. Crew. I need some Everlane next year. I still don't have any Everlane. I figure,
you know, come out to Connecticut, do a little shopping.
Are we gonna pop some tags? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally plan on that.
I need some barbecue.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
If you are just now tuning in, this is Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. You can catch us at clockradiospeakers.com. That is powered by Tumblr. You can catch us on iTunes. Vote, rate, comment, share the episodes. Please, please, please share the episodes. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We love you guys for consistently listening to Doc and I hilariously and ignorantly banter about music from a nerdery standpoint every week. So tell a friend to tell a friend. And we are not on SoundCloud. And we are on 4th District. Shout out to 4th District. 4thDistrict.com. Get our stuff there. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we're there. So, Doc, what's up, man?
I was doing, you know, I wasn't trying to kick a man when they were down, but SoundCloud had an outage earlier this week, and I was just like, because it's crazy, you know, it's crazy. Like when you rely on a company like that,
yeah,
you know, they go out, you go out. So, but no, we are not on SoundCloud, but we are everywhere else. Like Armand said, you can follow me on Twitter at @Doc_Beats. S not a Z.
Uh huh.
And yeah, we're back.
Back like cook crack.
So last week,
red bandana.
Last week we talked about Beyonce.
We did.
If you haven't heard that episode, go to clockradiospeakers.com. And
great episode.
And she did pretty well her first week.
I didn't see anything about numbers. What were her numbers?
I think because so the thing on HBO was Saturday night. Then I think it officially kind of, you know, because it was like streaming on Tidal, but you couldn't actually buy it until Monday, maybe?
It's Monday.
So it got less than a full week and it sold 653.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
That might have sold more than her last album, honestly.
No, the last album did huge numbers. Hold on.
Oh, was the last one like short? Wasn't it shorter platinum?
It was pretty crazy.
It was like 920 or 930 or something like that.
It was a pretty gigantic number. Let me see if I can pull that up.
I'm thinking of Jay, who never has crazy first weeks.
Nah, Jay does not have crazy first weeks at all. Oh, you know what? In 3 days, it did 617.
Nice.
That's in the U.S.
That's her last album?
Yeah.
Nice.
So this did, you know, I mean, considering that streaming is such a big part of the deal.
Yep.
And considering how many people they probably tried to get Tidal subscriptions for.
Absolutely. I'm sure Tidal's numbers jumped.
I would hope so. I mean, it was a big Tidal gambit. So either way, you know, physical copy will be on May 6th. It's interesting. That seems to be the new thing. Same thing with Drake who we're going to talk about this week, of course. You know, release it online and then 2 to 3 weeks later you get the physical.
And it seems like the only people who are going to buy the physicals are like the diehards.
Right, because they want, you know, some people they want, whether it's there's like deluxe stuff that comes with it. In the case of Beyonce, it's, you know, I believe that the film will be included as a DVD.
Better be
for that. Yeah, that's yep. you imagine that's got to be a part of the deal.
Has to be,
right? Especially because they pulled it off HBO. So, you know, if you're getting on an iTunes, you're going to get it there as well. I imagine it won't be cheap either. So,
yeah, you're probably paying 20 at least.
Right. But you know, big fans will do that, and
yeah. Shout out to Beyonce, man. Pulled it off effortlessly for us, and as critical as we have been about Kanye's rollout, this was seamless.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I don't know if it was planned that way or not. It seemed like they were pretty unclear with how long it would be exclusively on Tidal for sale in addition to streaming. I kind of wonder if they try to keep that, you know, pretty, you know, there's no reason they have to commit early. You know, they can kind of look at the download numbers, the sales as opposed to streaming numbers coming in on Tidal. Yeah. And if it's not enough, they go, all right, we got to get iTunes in this.
Yep.
So I imagine Tidal will continue to do that. It was kind of amazing, actually, that even though Kanye's album was on Tidal and, of course, bootlegged everywhere for so long, when it finally did go on iTunes, it did sell enough to become number one, which is just insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's a better version of the album. Let me just say that. Man, I was studying that at the airport, man. I studied The Life of Pablo on my flight, man. There's a lot of... We got to start doing recap episodes, like re-recap episodes, man.
Are you a member of the Church of Father Stretch My Hands yet?
No. The first minute and 7 seconds. Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah. No.
In like, part two.
Yeah. I'm Panda Hive. I'm not Designer Hive, but I'm absolutely Panda Hive. Like that's my joint. That's my joint. That was a slow girl, but that's my joint. Yeah, Beyonce, man.
Yeah. Dope. So what else is going on? I'm sure you have in-depth analysis of the Met Gala from last night.
My two crushes looked amazing last night. That's about it. And then somebody, the one, like, I'm not the guy who retweets all the slander because, you know, in the next 20 minutes, everybody's going to see it anyway. But Kanye side by side with Viscera, that was just magnificent. Whoever did that was a freaking genius. Other than that, I mean, you know, Kanye had his entire thigh out of his jeans, like, he didn't get the jeans made until 15 minutes before they were supposed to hit the red carpet, and they didn't finish. And he's like, "There's not enough time," and he just grabbed whatever they had. So, but I see people dressed like that on Instagram.
I was going to say the amazing part is those jeans cost more to look that way. That's the way it works.
Absolutely.
Real quick on Kanye's, I think he said today that he's going to try to tour later this fall.
September.
Yeah. Be interesting to see if he actually gets the other album out first.
Interesting that he completely he waits on Drake to clear if not all then most of his summer 16 tour.
I don't think that's why.
You think it's because of the new album?
I think my guess is he's in a music making mode, and the other thing is considering how last minute or what everything with Life of Pablo was put together, he waited a while after Yeezus to tour as well. Not quite as long, but I think it was like 3 or 4, maybe even 5 months until, and Yeezus tour got off to a rocky start because stuff got like damaged in transit. Kanye's tours, he keeps going bigger and crazier and crazier.
Yep.
So I'm not at all, the thought that it might take his people like 4 or 5 months to put together his set design and everything, that seems totally normal to me.
Yeah. I might go to that tour.
You might come around?
Yeah, I might go to Life of Pablo tour.
A little light on the Yeezus tracks and probably heavier on Life of Pablo, you might be okay.
I need to hear Famous live.
I need to hear Famous. I need to hear Fade.
I need to hear Fade. I need to hear Father Stretch My
Hands. I was going to say, I need to hear the crowd on that intro to Father Stretch My Hands.
Oh, God, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I need that. So I'll probably go.
I need to see Ultra Light Beam live.
Yeah. that'll be my bathroom break. This one. No, it's not a bad song. It's just sad. It's all.
I
I guess we're going to have to talk about this Chance project when it drops, huh?
We will. Yeah.
I'm not.
I have no inside information on it.
That means you do.
I don't. It means I actually don't.
Oh. I mean, it's any minute now.
Yeah. I've been refraining from asking my guy.
You do have a guy.
I do have a guy. I've been refraining from asking. So even though he's on tour, I mean, like he's basically playing in his band now on tour.
You want to be surprised? Is that why?
I try not to, you know, you can't go to the well all the time.
Yeah, because you got some nice info that we can't talk about.
And see, now we're turning into those people.
I don't care.
Anyway, anything else you want to talk about before we talk about your man, Aubrey Graham?
Oh, I want to officially initiate Dion Waiters into the Clock Radio Speakers first all-bum team for... How do you...
he forearm shivered him like that.
Okay, and also, let's not front like Ginobili didn't flop, because he totally flopped. The fact that he flopped on an inbounds play attests to the floppery of Manu Ginobili.
There were many fouls. Like, did the refs just give up? I'm not really sure what happened.
I think they just gave up. Like, it really turned into, like...
That's what makes the NBA so... You know, I love the NBA, but sometimes it can be frustrating because end-of-game situation, it could literally could be like, oh, this dude breathed on me.
Absolutely.
Or worse yet, you know, like a Wade in the finals back in whenever they played played the Mavericks, and it's like, oh, he came in the paint. Somebody touched him. Let's put him on the line. Like, it could be that, or it could be, you know, a fan grabbing Steven Adams.
Right.
Steven Jackson. What's that?
You mean who? Steven Jackson or Steven Adams? Who are you talking about?
Last night, Steven Adams.
Oh, okay. My bad. I went straight to Malice in the Palace.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, NBA's got to watch that. I mean, they have those fans so close.
Right.
Anyway.
Grab Steven Adams by his
Yeah, must. Deion Waiters, you know. Why was he inbounding the ball?
Listen.
Listen. you know, I love college basketball. Probably because I'm a big UConn alum, but let's just, I hope the performance of the Bulls coach and Billy Donovan, I hope this serves as yet another example to NBA coaches that just because someone was successful in college does not mean they're going to be successful in the pros.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan was successful at Florida because he recruited well.
Right.
That doesn't help him in the NBA.
Right.
Fred Hoiberg, he was kind of successful at Iowa State. And I have no idea why the Bulls hired him in the first place. So that was a weird one. But like, no, Billy Donovan, I don't think he's figured it out. And they threw him to the wolves, frankly. I mean, like,
absolutely.
Like the expectations of that team, the talent on that team, like, you know, Scottie Brooks has just got to be sitting back, just laughing.
Yep. Speaking of coaches, you saw, how do you feel about Thibodeau going to Minnesota?
So he's a really good coach. They're going to be better this year.
Yeah.
Or next year, I should say. Might be, you know, maybe even good enough to sneak into the playoffs. They were incredibly entertaining. I mean, actually, they were close enough. Like, it'd be hard to imagine they're not in the playoffs next year unless somebody gets hurt or something happens.
Right. I agree.
But, you know, let's see if he's still going to be same old Tibbs. You know, we don't want Wiggins coming down with knee injuries in 3 years.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
I think the overall good thing is, like, that team's just, it's a young team. Like, I think it'll be okay. Like, they're the right kind of team for him.
Yep.
As long as he doesn't run him into the ground. Like, he'll probably, you know, anytime somebody, and I don't want to say he fails because he was a really successful coach, but anytime there's a big, like, thing that happens to anybody, whether it's professionally or personally, the temptation is sometimes can be to go too far in the other direction.
Yep.
You know, like, if you're having trouble at work because you're doing one thing this way, sometimes it's tempting just to be like, oh, let me go and do this totally separate thing. And like, I don't think Tibbs will be like that. I don't, you know, if he can just moderate a little bit on the practice side, he'll be good.
Yep.
If nothing else, they're going to play incredible defense.
I agree.
Man, Towns is going to be a monster on defense with Tibbs.
Yep.
That's not even fair.
They're going to be nice, man. I really like Minnesota. Minnesota.
They're going to be good. Maybe the new Thunder, you know, bunch of good young guys in the team. We'll see.
How do you feel about, they talking about KD potentially going to Chicago, I saw?
I mean, the problem is, like, the Thunder still don't have it right. Like, the smart thing for him to do money-wise is just to do a LeBron and to sign a one-year deal with a one-year player option.
Yeah.
Or whatever player option Oklahoma City's allowed to give him, because that syncs him up with Westbrook's contract.
Yeah.
Gives them one more year. But on the other hand, like, you know, he successfully came back from surgery this year. He's not old or anything, but he did have surgery. Like, I don't know. Does he want to wait another year? Like, you can't tell me that he's looking at Billy Donovan and going, this is the guy who's going to get us to the over the hump in the finals.
Right. Right.
And the West is so stacked. I don't know.
Right.
Did you see, your boy Magic Johnson saying, here, my two-step plan, I'm paraphrasing, right? But his two-step plan for how the Lakers can get back on top.
Okay, does it consist of dynamite?
Nope. step one, they should get Kevin Durant. Oh, thanks.
Get right on that.
Yeah, step two is make sure you try to go after LeBron, too, in case he wants to leave Cleveland. It's like, thanks, Magic Johnson.
And that's why he worked for ESPN. Oh, man.
They're just losing people like crazy at ESPN. I mean, most of the people they lost are no big, like, crying shame.
Yeah.
Like Jason Whitlock. Boy, he's on the old bum list. We got an ESPN bum list. Whoa. My goodness.
It would be pretty much the entire, I won't call them a roster, but the entire news team, like, post what?
Oh, no, what? I don't have problem with it. Like their Sports Center people are decent enough. Like, but Sports Center is not what it was, because you get your, you know, you can find highlights on Twitter like 10 seconds later. Like, it's not the same thing.
Right.
It's their quote unquote, most of their personalities.
Their personalities and their analysts.
Like their NFL analysts are always the best. It's
listen,
just,
once you had Trent Dilfer as an NFL analyst, I watch enough NFL to know that Trent Dilfer sucks.
There's one good NFL show on ESPN, and even they're trying to make that personality driven, and that's Sunday Matchup, which is on at like 6:30 or 7 a.m., and they like nerd out over football. The problem is it's a half hour long, and I don't need 2 hours of Sunday Countdown. I need like an hour and a half of Sunday NFL Matchup.
Can you imagine a half hour Clock Radio Speakers? You know what I'm saying? Like,
we would get through our intros and our banter, and then we would say, see you later. Have a good week.
Pretty much. And then there'd be like who can I throw shots at? who has a fake good podcast?
Wow.
I'm a chill.
I got no beef with people who have podcasts. I got no problems.
Of course you don't. Let me talk. But I'm not gonna talk this week. I'm cool.
You know what? It's just because there are so many podcasts. Like, if I'm not feeling it, I just get a different one. Like,
right. Well, my thing is not that there's so many, is that so many do the exact same thing. Or they see something. Here's my shot. Or they see something and try to replicate it. That's my shot. A lot of baby CRSs floating around there. Mm. That's my shot. I'm done. And you just hit me with the
I just did the thinking face emoji. I'm like,
You did. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's fine. Yo, let's talk about this album, man. I'm ready.
Your man, Aubrey Graham.
Aubrey Drake Graham. Let's go.
So last we heard, 2015, we had the mixtape / album / who knows what a time to be. I'm sorry. Even before that, if you're reading this, it's too late.
Yep.
Then we had What a Time to Be Alive.
Yep.
But before that, we knew that there was something called Views from the Six.
Yeah. Views from the Six was announced shortly after.
In July of 2014.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was announced before, if you're reading this,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, like 9 months before.
Yeah.
To the point where Zero to 100 was like the original promo single.
Wow.
Right. That was almost 2 years ago. So a lot has changed for Drake in the last 2 years.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. He's had a very, I don't say tumultuous, but it's because it's been incredibly successful. But it's certainly been like Drake is in a very, you know, Drake post Nothing Was the Same versus where Drake's at now, both are just artistically and like culturally, like he's in a bigger place.
Absolutely.
So the first actual single from, well, hold on, so I'm trying to think. So we talk about everything.
Don't forget about the leaks and like we talk about Back to Back, but remember there was Right Hand. There was Charged Up was an official iTunes release.
Yeah, I mean, so Drake has always had the Lucy's.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say always, since the era of frankly, since a little bit on Thank Me Later, a number of them around Take Care.
Yep. The 3M releases. Yep.
Right, and then again, you know, especially but just before Nothing Was the Same. He had those four records that summer, like Jodeci Freestyle, and then
was that We Made It?
That was after Nothing Was the Same.
Okay.
Trophies and We Made It. And you know,
Jodeci Freestyle, there was
Days in the East. That's in between. That's after Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah, that's after
Days in the East and Draft Day and
Draft Day. There you go.
He always kind of puts out records. His deal with Apple Music though means that some of this stuff might end up on SoundCloud, but he's also going to put it up on Apple Music to stream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Back to Back turned into like a Billboard charting record, which is incredible.
Yep.
And then the slow burn of Hotline Bling. I don't know if it's his biggest record, Hotline Bling. It's certainly one of, if not the biggest record.
Yeah.
that he had, and it shows up here as a bonus track. What's that?
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. The first kind of promotional single from this, even though it's not in the album, was Summer 16.
Yeah,
which was end of January, beginning of February.
And
you know, I'm trying to remember how, I don't remember exactly what we said at the time, but when I listen to it now, I'm like, yeah, okay, it's cool. That second half is nice.
It's a good record.
Yeah, I have no problem with Summer 16.
Yeah, solid record. It was definitely a grower. I think the problem was some of those Lucy's were such smashes,
right?
That it sort of created a bar. Mm. And I think, man, I feel like Drake is his own worst enemy in some instances.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
And I think a record like Summer 16 and a lot of records that we're going to talk about on this project are a victim of Drake.
I think this whole project is a victim of Drake.
Yeah.
Actually, I went back and listened to every single one of his albums today.
I did as well.
And it was really interesting to hear how he's evolved.
Oh God, absolutely.
Some bad ways, some good ways. He's always had a problem with length. He is not somebody who knows how to edit himself in terms of how long his albums are.
Mm.
That's a problem that rears its head again here, I think. I'm sort of previewing what we're going to get to, but there's a lot of music on this album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we had Summer 16, and then we had the dual release of Pop Style and One Dance.
Yeah.
The original version of Pop Style.
Right.
With the infamous two Jay-Z lines, which he includes on here.
The throne. we get an explanation for that. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that?
I read a very awkward explanation.
I wish I would have heard it. I still haven't listened to his Zane Lowe interview, but
it's basically like, well, wasn't quite. He was like, I was kind of hoping it was just going to be Kanye.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Hmm. That is crazy. And seeing how that ended up and then listening to a record like Light Up.
Mm. I know. I listened to Light Up again today and I was like, first of all, Jay's not in the same. Well, a couple things. The tempos are totally different.
Yeah. You're talking about like for the time?
I mean.
You're talking about the songs?
I mean, Jay can rap. Like, even now, I think if you gave Jay the Light Up beat, he'd be okay.
Absolutely.
He's a New York rapper. It's in his wheelhouse.
Yep.
Pop Style is not really in Jay's wheelhouse. But if anything, that just confirmed to me that Kanye and Jay are actually actively making music. Because so we could have guessed. So what that tells you then is this was probable, but you know, you never know. I mean, Kanye and Drake have both spent a lot of time in LA, so you could conceivably go, oh, well, they might have been in the studio for that, right? But the fact that he kind of confirms that it was one of those situations where, you know, he sends the record to Kanye and gets back this other thing, right? So he gets back the finished product.
Yeah.
And he's surprised that Jay is on it. Well, why would Jay and Kanye just, I mean, what is, you think Jay's just hanging out with Kanye for whatever? Like, if Jay was there to do those lines, like, I really doubt Kanye shipped, you know, basically sent him like a Dropbox link to be like, to Jay to be like, here, I need you to say these two lines. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, that confirms that they're working together on Watch the Throne 2.
I mean, but does that really excite you?
Like, no, there was a picture, to me, it's a little bit of a clue. That's all.
There's a picture that came out today with Jay sitting on a stool with a studio mic in front of him with a Roc Nation hat in focus. And people were like, uh-oh, Jay's working on new music.
I mean, not surprised.
And also, if you listen to a Young Guru on Juan Epstein, a podcast that I absolutely will co-sign, he pretty much says without saying that Jay's working on music and he's putting out now this year.
Right.
And if you listen to Clock Radio Speakers, Clock Stradamus has said that a time or two as well.
Sure. And besides, Tidal's going to need more exclusives.
Exactly. and they've pretty much blown their load.
Yeah.
This year with Kanye, Rihanna, and now Beyonce. Like, they're going to have to follow up with Jay. At least later on in the year,
because maybe a Watch the Throne, maybe another Kanye album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a tough game they're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we had the first version of Pop Style. I'm sorry, yeah, first version of Pop Style.
I was talking about, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
With Light Up.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
To me, it confirmed that Drake is like the student of all students of the school of Jay-Z. Though we've already known that, It's just that record just, it's prophetic. And it's like, there's a level of premonition in it. You could just sort of like hear, seeing what's happened since then. Like, for example, I feel like Pound Cake was like a setup. Nobody listens to that record. Nobody listens to those 2J verses and says, yo, we need those for the album. Nobody. He stuck his finger in his mouth and popped it in between lines. He starts off a verse with cake, 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 cake. There's no way Drake and 40 don't sit in the studio and say, let's be passive aggressive and let's get this verse and let's get Drake some and let's get Jay some slander on his name. There's no way that didn't happen. And it's almost like if you listen to Light Up, like Jay gives Drake the blueprint. Like, this is what's going to happen. And Drake is like, well, I'm just going to turn around and use this on you because I want your spot. That's how I heard it. I could care less about The Throne, honestly. They put out a project, great. But that's what I heard. I heard, like, early rumblings of, you know, I want to help you out, but really, I heard early rumblings of, like, a Marlo Prop Joe situation since you're watching The Wire.
I am watching The Wire. Watching The Wire, so I rewatched season one this weekend because I had to spend a lot of time waiting on my couch because we were redoing our kitchen and I had a bunch of stuff delivered. And they were like, anytime between 10 and 2, and they finally showed up at like 4:30.
Wow.
So needless to say, my HBO Go was popping. rewatching season one of The Wire turned out to be very instructive for listening to Drake in 2016.
Yeah, I bet.
He's a very paranoid man.
Okay, let's just,
I mean, keep the family close, might as well be.
Why am I drawing a blank? I'm sleepy. I'm tired. Who sings that record on The Wire?
Who sings that?
Like, what character?
Oh.
Or whose theme song is that?
I mean, they might as well just have it be a montage of every time that Avon talks to D'Angelo.
Okay, I'm thinking of Avon. That's the name I'm thinking of. Absolutely. They do that instead of Keep the Devil Down the Hole for season one.
Oh,
I see that.
When I turn on season two and all of a sudden the theme song changes and you're like, oh, God.
Listen, you sent out a tweet and it just accurately depicted my feelings for much of The Wire, that Ziggy Sabaka is like the worst human being in the existence of fictional television.
The Wire continues to show you examples of how nepotism can just kill you.
Absolutely.
Right? The parallels between Ziggy and, I mean, to a certain extent, to D'Angelo, but really to Presbuleski, like all sorts of stuff. Like, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could talk about The Wire all day.
All right. Let's get into this.
Yeah. So Pop Style and One Dance. Those are the two singles. One Dance is blowing up. Huge record. The only thing that's keeping it from being number one is, of course, Panda.
Panda.
Number one for the second week in a row. Seems impossible. There's not even an official video yet.
And that's what I said last week. Like, does this even need a video?
I mean, they shot one. I mean, the whole point to doing a video is because YouTube streams count towards Billboard. Like, it's just another.
Oh, you said that last week.
Yeah, it's just another. It's like another moment in the marketing plan where you can ratchet it up and, you know, try to get another bump. So in this case, actually delaying it kind of makes sense because if they get a sense that they're going to slip down, you hype it, you get it out, you get the big surge of views, and then you try to keep you try to keep the rise going a little more. But
yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to use the YouTube video as a liftoff. They're going to use it as like a nice gentle parachute.
Gentle parachute.
All right. So we've talked enough. So we had a bunch. We had the two projects last year. We had some singles, but they kept the track listing to this pretty close to the vest for a while.
Yeah.
We got kind of a production list that was incomplete. Very incomplete. You know, with much like with Kanye projects, reading the credits on Drake projects is very instructive.
Yeah.
That was something I did as I went back and re-listened to his old stuff. Caught some things that I didn't really pay that much attention to before, but made a lot of sense when I listened to this album.
Nice.
So we're going to talk about some of that. But let's just go track by track. You ready?
Let's do it, man. I'm ready.
All right. Keep the Family Close. Produced by someone we haven't really heard it before. Some dude, Manish, who helps out in a couple different spots in this album.
Yeah.
This is an interesting intro.
Very much so.
I would describe this as my favorite word, cinematic.
Very cinematic.
Maybe even a bit over the top.
A little dramatic. A little dramatic.
Sounds like could be like a James Bond intro, kind of.
Yep.
right off the top, draws a very, like, this is not, if you're reading this too late, this is not Nothing Was the Same.
Yep.
Right. Nothing Was the Same. When I went back and re-listened to it, I was like, oh, right. He opens up with Tuscan Leather.
Yep.
Which is like 6 minutes, multiple beat switches.
Yeah.
Like he's flexing on Tuscan Leather.
Yep.
He, what's he doing here? He's singing.
Well, he's sing flexing. He's flex singing.
He's flex singing.
Yeah. He's flex singing. Cause the one thing that I noticed when, listening to this project or going back listening to Thank Me Later is how limited his singing has always been.
Yes.
And as limited as it still is, it has expanded tremendously.
Right. So there are some reasons for that. I mean, he's worked with a vocal coach, a singing coach.
Right, right, right.
And frankly, like, you know, he's got better. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that OVO Sound is stockpiling R&B talent.
And we'll get into that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, this song alone, like my comparison to The Wire, like Drake's got some security issues.
You think?
Faithful Controller leaked early. Meek Mill somehow got Summer 16 because.
Oh, okay. You were talking about that. I thought you were talking about like.
Oh, no. And then there's, of course, the stuff with Quentin Miller last year. The stuff that just happened with Party.
Yeah.
Someone has access to Drake's stuff and it's kind of a problem.
Now, if this was wrestling, the person who'd be leaking this stuff would be 40.
If that would be The Wire. Man, that would be incredible.
That would be like nuts.
Right. Like, you know, at the press conference, he'd like rip off the OVO shirt and it's like, you know, Dream Chasers underneath. Hits Drake with the chair in the back of the head, doesn't see it coming,
and then he spray paints his back yellow, and yeah, it's bad. It's right. Really bad. Right. And then Tony Schiavone, see you next week.
So how do you feel about this song?
Okay, so here's how I feel about it.
Okay.
I agree with you. It's cinematic, it's very dramatic. I like it. I actually like it a lot.
Really?
It's a little long.
Well, that's the problem with this album in general.
It's 5.5 minutes. It's a little long.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a record that I go to, but I think that 9 sounds better after it.
Well, that's interesting. We're going to talk about that.
I'm a visual person, so yeah. I hear stuff and I see it as I hear it. So I was sort of live tweeting my initial reactions on Thursday night hearing this album, and like I literally saw credits rolling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's you know, as much as we joke about it, this literally was like a movie.
Right.
And to me, it put me in that mindset. And it also, I think we have this discussion about what's a project, what's a mixtape, what's an album. You don't do this on If You're Reading This Is Too Late.
No, you don't.
This sets itself up like, okay, this is a body of work. So I listen to it as a body of work. And I think that's why I may have a different ideal as far as the length and the sequencing from other people, because sometimes, and we did this with Kairos, sometimes as an artist, when you really get into yourself and into the project, you have to you feel like you have to leave some scenes in to tell the story the way you want to tell it. So I get it. But I like the record, but it's not something that I go back to like, yo, I got it here. Keep the family close, son.
Yeah, I mean, it sets the stage for where he's at right now in his mindset. He's paranoid. He is really drawing internally.
Yep. Not,
but like when people have talked, I mean, Drake has always been sort of, he's always rapped about his what he is thinking, but it's often revolved around how he's feeling towards women. And
yep.
the move for Drake, you know, lately has been instead he's clearly paranoid. I think it's clear that his time in, you know, living in California has made him miss being in Toronto.
Yep.
It makes sense because it used to be called Views from the Six. This is by far the most Toronto-centric project of his career.
I'll get into that a little later, but yes.
And as somebody who appreciates the seasonality of records, I know you love that he purposely made this sound like winter to summer to winter again.
And you can hear it.
Yeah.
This, like the first half, I think the first half of the album, the part where it's really summer and then the end are like, it was like, I want to hear this album in the winter because it sounds cold. Right. Somebody tweeted me and said morose. Mm. That's a great word to use to describe this album. It feels cold. And I love the fact that he created a mood that you can feel with the project because a lot of artists can't do that. So, yeah.
The record is definitely, I don't want to call it a novelty. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you're listening to this and you're absorbing the whole project, it's the intro. It's the credits are rolling. But you're right. I'm not coming back to this and going, I want to hear that.
Yeah.
Next track is 9.
Yeah.
Produced by 40, Boy Wonder, and of all people, Brian Alexander Morgan, who's a 90s R&B producer. He did SWV's Week. Which Drake and 40 stand for hard.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of 90s R&B on this album, which is hilarious.
Yes, there is. This is a cool song.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love it. The beat works. The lyrics are okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is where, but like there's definitely a point in one of these first couple tracks where I had to start looking at the credits. You know, Drake has been known to get some help with writing.
Yeah.
Drake's not using his normal stable of people to help out on this project.
Yeah.
There's a lot of solo Drake. Party clearly helps out in some spots with some things, but like there's no Hush anywhere in the credits. He was all over Take Care and Nothing Was the Same. Like, yeah. All over.
Yeah.
Obviously, after what happened last year, there's certainly no Quentin Miller.
Absolutely.
So, dude appears to be flying solo. And there are some questionable lines all over this album.
Yeah.
The hook is okay. Like, this song is okay. I'm not in love with it. And considering how long the album is, I'm like, it's cool. It's cool. What do you think?
So, I think in the context of the story... I like it. This is, you know, I'm about to, you know, turn the six upside down. So this is like, all right, I'm inviting you into not just Toronto, but I'm inviting you into my Toronto. And because I embody the city, I'm able to take you places where most people cannot. So I get it within the context of the story. Mm. The song itself, I love the way that it comes in. I have to keep the family close. It's not like a super turn up record. It's not like going from this to Hype.
Right.
Or this to other records like Worst Behavior, Grammy, like other sort of turn up records or whatever that we hear. It's a subtle turn up. I'm not mad at it, but I think after about a verse and a half, I'm skipping.
Yeah.
It feels like, and shout out to one of our longtime listeners and a good dude that I met, finally met with out in Kansas City. Shout out to A1. He made a great point. And I think we're probably just going to do spoiler alert with this project. He said some of these records on the album are good, but I felt like I've heard them before.
Yes, I have that in my notes in multiple places. Like Drake definitely has, like, he has multiple types of Drake records.
Yep.
And some of them you can tell that he can just churn out.
Yep.
And that's fine, but like it's still got to be good.
Yep.
You know, like a record like 9, this is not a difficult record for him to make.
Absolutely.
And when we get to the end, I want to talk about sort of bigger picture, like if that matters or not.
Okay.
But the song's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Let's talk about You With Me.
Yeah.
Produced by like 1,000 people, which is incredible because it doesn't feel like the most complicated beat.
At all.
We got credits for 40, Party, Kanye, DJ Dahi, THC, Vinyls, Oz. I think that's everybody.
Yikes.
I think part of that is the second half.
Yeah.
Another interesting song. Definitely in the Drake wheelhouse.
Yep.
I was surprised that I liked it, but I like that he used the hook from How's It Going Down.
The first time I heard it, I don't like him using DMX at the beginning.
No, I think that's completely unnecessary. I agree.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. But I think we talked about this before. How's It Going Down? If it's not my favorite DMX song, it's top 3.
Right.
So I'm a little like, hey, like, chill out. But it works.
You know what would have, I mean, now I'm playing armchair quarterback. You know what would have taken that hook to the next level?
What's that?
If they would have sampled Faith's background vocals, like behind it.
Yeah,
I can hear it. Like they could have done something.
But I feel like them using Party sort of like wailing in the background and throwing a 40 filter over it, like that's fine. I don't want them to turn this into a How's It Going Down like remake.
Mm.
I think the Faith lyrics would have, or the Faith vocals would have took it over the top.
I like the beat switch.
Yeah, so that beat switch leaked like 2 years ago.
That's that original Views from the Six track.
Yep.
Those are definitely DJ Dahi drums.
Yep.
I gotta say, Drake's got a lot of gumption.
How so?
To have a line about people can cut the check so they can take this flow, and then immediately after he uses those are Party's lines from that Legend reference that leaked. Man, you got to be pretty confident.
Understatement.
Mm-hmm. like really? Overall, I think this song should not be at this part in the track list.
Mm.
And in general, like I think a record like this, and there's some other records like this as well. I think Redemption's a similar one where like you kind of have to earn it on the record first, on the album as a project.
Yeah.
He hasn't earned it yet. He just kind of comes right out with this record.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep. I agree with that.
The song itself is, it's cool. It's growing on me. It's not my favorite. What do you think? Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that again, within the context of the story here, it's kind of like, all right, why is this here?
Right. Cause this album takes a little bit to kind of get to cruising altitude.
It does.
More than any other. I mean, like Thank Me Later took a little while to get going too. But
so does So Far Gone.
Yeah, except So Far Gone.
But it was good. It was like a good elevation though.
Right. Except those first three songs on So Far Gone were like world shattering.
Absolutely.
So it's a little different.
Yeah. But I kind of noticed that like he likes the slow build up.
Except for Nothing Was the Same. But you're right.
I mean, Tuscan Leather, yeah, but then it goes in the furthest thing.
Right, but then it started from the bottom.
Yeah, true. But then I always think about Wu-Tang Forever. That in retrospect, bad title for that song.
Right. They should have just called it It's Yours.
It's Yours.
That started from the bottom, Wu-Tang Forever, and then Own It combo. Oh.
Man, I forgot about Connect.
Oh.
There's some records on Nothing Was the Same.
Nothing Was the Same. Kind of slows down at the end.
Yeah, it does.
Much like Think Me Later is better than I remember. Slows way down at the end.
Thank Me Later is not good. I feel like so in the context of this album where we've like Drake has done records like this but done them better, Thank Me Later is like Drake has done these records but since then he's done them way better.
Mm, I think I would kind of agree with most of that. It's for me it's just like like Over is so
oh man, we really rapped over that beat. Like
it's
a lot. So,
it's 2010. It's just 2010.
Yeah,
that's all you can say.
Yeah, I'm good.
But yeah, so you with me is it's cool.
It's cool. It's cool. But I think the sequencing sort of hurts it.
It does. But again, like the real theme so far is like he is. This is a very internal like Drake. Like he is doubting. He's paranoid. Like he's
yeah.
This is the winter part of the album, right?
Yeah. Uh huh.
All right. Feel No Ways, produced by Majid Jordan with 40 and Kanye giving some help.
Yeah.
This was originally a little Vine snippet that Drake had put out, which was just the first like line or two.
Mm.
How do you feel about this?
I like this record a lot.
This record's grown on me. I like the drums. It helps if you hear it on a good system.
Yep.
The hook is growing on me a little bit.
I feel like the hook could have been bigger,
but
I like it.
Right.
Like he really could have killed that hook. He didn't kill it. He just like, it was a double. It wasn't a home run. It was a double.
Right. Right. I'm trying to think what else I want to say about this. The production's growing on me.
Yeah. This is all Majid Jordan. Like he had to take that wave. He had to.
Yeah. I mean, it's Majid Jordan. Actually, when I hear the drums, as soon as I heard this record, I was like, oh, I'm sure Kanye, he didn't mind those drums at all. Those drums are right in Kanye's wheelhouse.
Well, you know what those drums are, right?
Yeah, it's Malcolm McLaurin, world famous.
Absolutely. I love they add that in there on the bridge. I like that little touch.
The little like where they sort of chop the sample at the end.
Yep.
That's Kanye.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm sure Kanye was like, hold on, let me get the MPC out. I'll do it right now.
Yeah, he just went like completely left. But yeah, I like this record a lot, man. This record is dope to me.
So here's what I'm trying to figure out. You know who has a writing credit on here? And I'm trying to figure out where they helped out.
Where? Who?
Future. This doesn't feel like a Future record.
But I feel like that doesn't really surprise me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to make a Future record to like get a writing credit. It's like when So it's like, for example, when Ross was talking about, you know, I'm a ghostwriter, da da da. Now you're listening, like, well, what type of records was Ross writing?
Right.
It's not one of those things where like where the Game writes for you and it's just like him giving you a Game verse. You know, I'm sure I honestly could see Future like sort of vibing to that. And I could even see him sort of like making up that way on purpose. I could see that.
Right.
It's not super surprising to me.
Right. And I'm not trying to say Future with this whole thing. He just had a credit. I think that indicates how long. What I'm also trying to figure out is how, like, which of these records are old and which of them are not.
Right.
Because Views has been in the oven for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, some of the records on If You're Reading This Is Too Late were intended for that. Although, considering we've now heard references from Party and Quentin Miller and that If You're Reading This Is Too Late project, I wonder if they will just regret putting that out at some point, despite all the money, because I really feel like that was we're putting this out because we need to put something out. And okay, well, we've got, you know, Party's got this record. We can take that, turn into something. We were working with Kid Cumulo. Let's just take his, you know what I mean? Like it feels like it was sort of patched together from spare parts, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. But Feel No Ways is cool. I want to like it. I don't know why, but like for whatever reason, like I like the beat. I just feel like Drake didn't hit it out of the park on the hook.
Yeah.
And I actually feel that way about a lot of hooks on here.
Mm.
But let's keep going. So we've had a pretty R&B-ish start to this album.
Yeah.
Okay. That changes on track 5.
Which is
Hype.
Yep.
Produced by Boy Wonder, 1985, who is the quiet MVP of this album, 1985.
Yeah,
he's all over the place, and he's half of Division. So
is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
1985. He's the non-singing half of Division. So, So now we finally get the first. I guess you call this the first banger, right?
Yeah,
I like this record.
This record is dope.
Yeah, the beat is nice. I won't lie.
Yeah.
And I like the hook on here.
Yeah, me too.
It's catchy.
Yep.
People are going to be singing that in concert.
Yep.
He's getting that Meek on this record.
Yeah, he is.
Not surprised. There's he's getting
a few shots.
What's that?
I said there's a few shots on this album.
There's some weird song. Goodness, I can't wait to talk about it. Like there's a couple of these songs where I'm like, did he really make a song about that?
Yeah.
But how do you feel about Hype's placement in the album?
I would have moved Is You With Me? Mm. And I would have had this like track 4. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, perhaps switching it with Feel No Ways.
Mm. Just up a little bit. So you don't, because it kind of, yeah, I mean, aside from, and then, you know, it just feels like this album takes a little while to get going.
But
I'm not mad at the song at all. This is kind of, if you're reading this, it's too late mode, Drake.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. It's a good song.
Yeah.
It comes to me, it's a welcome change up at this point.
Yeah. I think the thing about it is that it's just overall like a solid record. There's nothing that stands out about it, but it's just everything about it is really good. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Anything else you want to say about Hype?
Nope.
I'm curious, how do you feel about Western Road Flows?
So this is one of those records. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot. It's one of my favorites early.
Really?
But yeah, easily.
Okay.
And I want to get into this conversation about rapper Drake. Okay. But to answer your question, this is another one of those records where I felt like he's done it before and done it better.
Mm.
This could have been Paris Morton Music 3.
Yeah, this is nostalgic Drake.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 90s R&B sample with a filter.
Mary J. Blige, Mary's Joints from My Life.
Yep.
Yep.
Dope record.
It's a good song. It's 40 and some new guy that 40's working with, S2.
Was his name S1 and he couldn't copyright it?
I don't know. it's weird. Like, I like the sample. I like the idea. In a weird way, it sounds so nitpicky. The drums just don't feel 100% there. Like, this song is like a B+, and I want to like it. I want it to be like an A, if that makes sense.
The drums are a little hollow, but they grew on me.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there's no hook here. This is just Drake rapping for however many bars. It's a good record. Yeah. Again, this is a solid song. It's not amazing to me anyway. It's a solid record.
Yeah, yeah.
But you said this is one of your favorites?
Yeah, this is early one of my favorites.
Is it just the feel it gives you, or what's the...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like 90 Bar Drake.
Mm.
90 Bar Drake. So here's the conversation I've been having a lot lately.
Okay.
Is I hear people say, well, I just... like, okay, so I feel like other people are shooting themselves in the foot because they are listening to this with the filter of their expectations, and they're doing themselves a disservice.
What do you mean by the filter of their expectations?
So what I mean by that is we have all these ideas of what we think Drake should do.
Okay.
So then we listen to a project, and this isn't with Drake. This is what we do with a lot of artists. So we'll assume, well, this artist should do this. They should have a record that's this. It should sound like this. And so when they're listening to the album, they're not listening to the album for what it is. They're listening to it to see if what they did validates what their suggestions are. So what you have to do is you have to listen to the project a couple of times to get that out of your system and to accept it for what it is. A lot of the conversations that I've had this week with this album are with every conversation that comes with the last maybe 3 or 4 Drake projects. I just want him to put together, I thought there would be more rapping. I just want him to put together a project of him just rapping. That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
there is no Drake project that exists where he's, number one, there's no Drake project that exists where he's rapping primarily, except for, I guess, Thank Me Later. But he's coming off of Hotline Bling, which is his biggest single, right?
Right.
He's not rapping. Is there any rapping on that record?
No.
No, he's not rapping. So accept these, love them for what they are, but you're going to get 60-40 Drake singing and rapping. That's just the artist that he is now.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I feel like the balance on this album is definitely heavier on the R&B.
Sure.
Or call it sing rapping.
Sing rapping, yeah.
Yeah, I think in terms of expectations, I mean, some of that Drake brings it on himself. He has been talking about views for a while.
Yeah.
And the reason why he's been is because they want, you know, it appears as though he's on track for a monstrous first week.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't, you know, you can, but it's a lot easier to get a monstrous first week if you're hyping it up, if people know it's coming, if you're talking about it.
Sure.
Like, this is part of the gig, you know, like he wanted this. And so I don't knock people who have high expectations, because if someone's hyping something up, yeah, you know, you're going to feel a certain way. But in terms of people who are expecting him to just rap, I mean, look, no, it's Drake. And that, to me, that's, I mean, it's funny, like when I was listening to So Far Gone, like I think one great example of how you can use the two different like sides, like the rap and the singing together in a way that kind of work, is the transition from Ignorantish to, what's the record right after that samples it?
Night Off?
Yeah. Where yep. They, you know, he's being all rappery, and then they take the same sample, slow it way down, and he totally flips the style and it's something totally different, and it works.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know if he always uses that to his advantage. I feel like, especially when you're Drake, like part of the flow to your album has to be like keeping a good balance between singing and rapping. I feel like here he was so, they so clearly wanted to make it feel like a journey through the seasons.
Yeah.
That balance is a little lost. That was a decision they made.
Sure.
But if you're expecting the, you know, if you want half and half, all right, I'll give you that much. But like, if you're expecting 3/4 Drake rapping or whatever, like, no, like after, I mean, if you ever had a wish of that, like, listen, Hotline Bling was gigantic. One Dance is pretty big right now. There are other songs in here that are going to, that could be gigantic. Like, you know, don't, that's not happening.
Yep. Agreed.
That was basically a long rant to say, I agree with you.
Yeah. Agreed.
Speaking of records that are in Drake's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Redemption.
Yeah.
I really feel like he has maybe even just made this song before.
He absolutely has.
So this is produced by 40, no surprise. samples Ray J's One Wish, which is kind of funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I like the beat switch. I feel like, again, this album at this point in the sequencing just doesn't work. And in fact, it's called Redemption, but they didn't even, like, there were some logical places they could have put this if they weren't so worried about this winter, summer, winter thing. Like, there's records coming up where it's either him, like whether it's, you know, Control and One Dance or even Too Good, to follow that up with a record like that, you get the highs of the relationship and then the lows, like, you can balance those things out. You can sort of pair those things up. And that's what Drake has always been good at.
Yeah.
But here's another case of two problems with this song. One, he's done it probably better. But two, you don't feel like you've earned this record called Redemption yet.
Yeah. 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 I've only heard this record the first night I listened to it.
Because you just kind of skip it, right? Song gets off to a slow start.
Yep. It's a slow record.
It picks up.
And it's coming off of Western Road Flows, which I really like. And I want to, like, keep that mood going.
Right.
And
right.
to go to that. And especially, like, and it's one of those, like, it's Caption Drake.
Mm.
So by that, like, he'll have really poignant lines that people can relate to that they can put on their Instagram captions. Or they can tweet them off, or they can text them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the kind of culture that Drake has created. Like, let me create stuff that you will make you feel away and then make you text your ex. And I'm good. I don't want to do that.
You're not trying to text your ex right now?
Not at all. Not at all. So literally, like, I was live tweeting this, and some of the stuff, it was like, okay, I see what you're doing here, Aubrey. And I don't even think I got to the whole song. Matter of fact, now I think about it, like, I think I got maybe 3/4 of the way through and I let it go. I switched, I skipped, and I haven't heard it all the way through since.
Mm.
So it's not that it's bad, but I don't want to go there personally. And then two, he's done this better, a million times better. I heard Marvin's Room today.
Mm. Oh. See, Marvin's Room. Oh, so let's talk about this right now. I feel when you're somebody... I mean, look, you can, whether or not you think that him getting help with writing is a, you know, takes him down a peg or two, like, Drake is a talented musician. We'll just say that much, right?
Yeah.
Like, clearly he's put out great records. When you're talented like he is, I feel like I feel like if you're not taking risks at times, then we're sort of, you know, we're not getting everything that you could be. Marvin's Room was a risk.
It was. Yeah, that was the first of its kind.
Right. Like, the fact that he made that record, everyone's like, wow, where will Drake not go? You know? Mm-hmm. And not to bring him up and everything, but, like, say what you will about Kanye West. He is not afraid to take risks with his music.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it does. But, like, Kanye has taken an L or two in his life.
Absolutely.
I think Drake is afraid of taking an L.
Mm.
I do. In many ways, there are a couple exceptions to this, and it's not always a problem with this album, but in general, like, he is trying to not lose on this album.
Yeah. So in that case, you go for what has already worked.
Right. There's not a lot of risk taking here.
Yeah.
And you don't always have to take risks, but, you know, sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
So Marvin's Room, that took risks. Redemption? No, he's done this.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.